Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of iRib English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani, an expert from Islamic House of Qom, is here in our studio today to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So many questions are sent to us regarding soul. What happens to soul after death? Or it's better to say, is there any way of returning of soul to the body after death? According to Islamic beliefs, when a person dies, the soul departs the body. Am I right?
Yes, of course.
So if yes, is there any possible way of return of soul to the body after death, Shaykh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From the Islamic perspective, there are different views concerning the resurrection, that when a person resurrected on the day of judgment, the question is that does the soul return to the same body, the same physical and material body that we have in this world, or no, it returns to another body which is not exactly the same as this body, or no, the soul does not return to any kind of body, rather it will be resurrected spiritually or immaterially.
That's right.
So that's why we can say that there are different views. The three main views in this regard is this, that first of all, there are some theologians and philosophers in Islam who believe that resurrection is completely immaterial, and there is no physical body and there is no kind of material realities or entities in the resurrection.
That's right.
But in the second, according to the second view, the resurrection is bodily but not this physical body, or there is a kind of body which is called badanul misali.
Okay, imaginal body.
Imaginal body, we can translate, yes. So which is body but different from this physical body.
All right.
And then the other view is that, of course, the soul may return exactly to this physical body, and this physical body will come back to the life.
Okay.
And will be resurrected by the same body that we have in this world.
That's right.
So these are the three main views.
Okay. Is there any possible way of departure of the soul when we are alive, Sheikh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we are alive, it is believed that the soul and the body are together, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
I mean, the soul departs the body, for sure, okay, there is no life. I mean, the body is going to be lifeless and we are dead.
Mm-hmm.
But what about, when we are alive?
Mm-hmm. You know, the important point that we should first of all understand is this, that the life is with soul, not with the matter. Matter does not have any kind of life. Life is given to the matter or to the material body by the soul. So now the question is that, can this material body stay alive without soul? Of course not. If soul completely and categorically departs the body, then death will happen. But is it possible for the soul to extend itself, we can say, for example, to departure the body, but at the same time not completely departure, to be actually ruling the body as well as outside the body? This is the thing that is possible for the soul. For instance, when we sleep, it is believed that the soul partially departs our body, but at the same time it has control on our
body.
It's
a death-like experience.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is why the complete departure of the body would lead to death. But partially, or we can say this extension of the soul, that would be also possible for the soul to extend itself and then completely return to the body.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. So is this soul specific to human beings? I mean, what about other creatures like animals, plants, or other living creatures, Sheikh?
Yeah, it is believed, Islamically talking, according to the Muslim philosophers and thinkers, they believe that not only the people or the mankind, but also the animals also have the soul, because hayat or life comes from the soul. But of course, the level of the soul that they have is different from the level of the soul that the man has. The man's version of soul is the most perfect, the most complete one. But the other animals, though, they have soul, but it's not as strong or as perfect, as complete as the body, as the soul of man.
All right.
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
I mean, there are so many questions also asked about the benefits of the presence of a concept like soul. I mean, what will be the use of the soul? So one of them will be life. So what about, for example, when a person dies and in the underworld, when he is resurrected, the soul is going to get back to the body. What would be the use on that time, Sheikh?
Mm-hmm. First of all, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with both material and immaterial aspects.
Yes.
We have soul and body. And soul is the haqiqatul insan.
Yes.
Or the essence or the nature of insan is the soul. This physical body is with the soul for a short time in this world. But the haqiqatul insan is that soul that exists endlessly, we can say, eternally in the hereafter life. So that is why what is important is to know that whatever we perform, whatever we act in this world,
yes,
whatever we do in this world,
mm-hmm,
we will be counted responsible for all of them in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our soul, by our nafs, by our ruh.
Okay.
And then this physical body is not that important because it's like a tool, like an equipment for the body to make use of it,
mm-hmm,
in this worldly life or earthly life. But then it leaves this body. It does not root to this body. Body is not important. The soul is the essential and the important one.
Is it true that according to Islamic beliefs, the effects of our deeds are going to be saved and recorded in our soul rather than the body?
And that's
why when it is resurrected on the day of judgment, the effects of our deeds are going to be shown to us based on a kind of, how can I say, a kind of deposit, I can call it, or a kind of account in which the effects of our deeds have been recorded in this world, isn't it, Sheikh?
Yeah, you know, knowledge, according to the Muslim thinkers and philosophers, knowledge is something immaterial, knowledge. Whatever we perceive, whatever we understand. For example, if you look at a piece of stone or a piece of wood, it cannot understand, it cannot perceive anything. It does not have this ability to realize, to understand something.
That's right.
What we understand, what we think, what we analyze, what we produce theoretically, they are all by the soul.
Uh-huh.
So then, haqiqatul insan is the soul, then the perception goes to the soul. Whatever is recorded as knowledge, as a kind of memory or as a kind of reported kind of things, that is, of course, with the soul, because even the soul is able to remain with all these things that it experienced, that it realized, that it perceived in this world, and there is no need to be recorded somewhere else because the soul itself, it has that.
That's right.
And the only thing is that it will be shown again to the soul, and soul remember all of them, that, yeah, these things we perform and these things we acted, and now we are responsible to answer about all those things that we did.
That's right. We have the concept of something like hulul, or maybe even tanasukh, incarnation, okay?
Yeah.
So in which the soul or the spirit of a person will be descend down, or it's better to say will be shaped or formed in the body of another human being. Does Islam accept such a concept?
No.
It's
incarnation,
not
incarnation is not accepted by the Muslim scholars and thinkers because of these, that the transformation of soul of a person to another person is completely meaningless, because every human who is created, he's created, first of all, by soul.
All right.
Yeah, and there's no need to, because on the day of judgment, you will be responsible for your own deeds. Then what about the other souls, yeah?
That's right.
Someone else did something wrong, for example. You should be punished on the day of judgment because of that. Of course, it's not accepted, because there are lots of problems with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they say this, according to this incarnation, this idea, they believe that, for example, the soul of this person, when he dies, it will be transformed to, for example, the body of another person, or to the body of an animal, or to the body of an insect, even sometimes. This makes no sense, because, first of all, we know that, for example, thousands of years back, the number of the people lived on this planet were few. But now we have billions of people. So now the number of people increased. How did the number of soul increase? Yeah, because
Is it possible? Yeah, no, it's not possible. Yeah. That's right.
So it means that for everybody or for every person, there is a special or specific soul for his own self. And it cannot be believed that the souls of others should be transformed to this person.
And when a person is born, we can say the specific soul for such a body is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or no?
Yeah, yeah, that is.
There is a type of world, or there is a type of, we can say, imagine a world or substantial world in some, we can say, shades of the soul are going to be transmitted into the body, Shaykh.
Yeah, of course. Because if, for example, suppose that Einstein, for example, dies, and his soul is supposed to transform to a body of a baby. So how is it possible that the soul of this person, which is so much perfect and a skillful person, and a scholarly kind of figure with tens of years of experiences, knowledge, and experience. So this kind of soul, how can it be transformed to the very born baby who has no ability, no capacity? Then that baby should be like Einstein, but there's no such a record in this world that the baby, for example, the very day that he's born, he has such soul. Because soul has all those things with itself, because it is immaterial, it's not bodily. Wherever it is be transformed, then it has its own quality, its own characteristics.
That's right.
Yeah, this is the other problem with this idea.
Okay. How much is it possible that the soul is created out of material and substance because of the mutation? I mean, because of the transformation of this type of substance or the body, the soul is going to be created out of that, Sheikh.
Yeah, soul is not physical, first of all, okay? It's not physical, it's not material, it is immaterial. It has a kind of dominance, it has a kind of control, a kind of ruling over the body. Body is like a kind of tool, like a kind of equipment for the soul. And soul is not at the service of the body. Body is at the service of the soul. So that's why since we in this world, we are always busy with this material, physical body, we think that this physical body is important.
Mm-hmm.
But while no, in the reality, in haqiqah, the soul is important and the ruh and nafs is important. So that's why ruh and nafs is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, Allah says that وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي.
That's right.
We know that the ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not material, is not limited, is not physical, is not bounded into this, let's say, material and physical limitations. Mm-hmm. So that is why that is absolutely something immaterial, something transphysical, something transcendent, I mean. And that is, of course, we cannot bound it, we cannot limit it into the limits of the bodies.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding soul and body. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani aliyin wa husayni wa hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن